I think that is kind of the thing, you know, the key that we wanted to look at and say, do we really have PCB2D out there? PCB2s are, you know, there's always change in PCB2 genotypes. And if we can protect against the most recent PCB2 genotype, then we should continue that, those production parameters, get production parameters better for the producer as they go forward.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com.
Herd Software aligns your data. Gilt aligns your people. GetGilt.com.
Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents.
Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week.
Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster.
Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io.
Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name's Dr. Clayton Johnson. I'm the host of the podcast. And joining me in our illustrious podcast studios is Dr. Jana Morgan. Dr. Morgan is a senior key account veterinarian with Boehringer Ingelheim. Jana, thank you so much for being on the show. Jana, you're here today because you and the team at Boehringer have been doing a large-scale surveillance project looking at PCV2 sequencing information and genotypes within the U.S. swine population. And I know, Jana, you've gotten lots of different sequences from lots of different places, different production flows, different regions. Let's kind of start there. You know, as you wanted to do this assessment, how did you go about identifying where you're going to get access to all this information and how you're going to get a balanced set of sequences across time and space and geography and all the other things that play into it?
Yes, thank you for having me, Clayton. The project kind of started as, you know, trying to understand what PCV2 sequences and genotypes that we have in the industry. And it initially looked at clinical cases that came into Iowa State. We know that PCV2 seems to be the primary genotype. And we said, let's look back at all these clinical cases at Iowa State and do some sequencing and understand what we have in clinical cases coming into Iowa State. We had that information and we said, now what does this look like in non-clinical cases? And so let's go out and look in different geographies and different systems and different barns across the whole United States at what do we see the same genotypes on non-clinical cases that we see in the clinical cases coming in. And we sure did, right? We saw PCV2D primarily in the sequences that we found in clinical cases coming in at Iowa State, and we saw PCV2D in the cases coming in on the surveillance side as well. And so I think it's, you know, just the key there is that we see PCV2D in all of, you know, in a majority of the cases that we're finding. And we do still see A, it's out there, but the PCV2D was definitely the primary genotype that we saw in both of those places.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Did you see anything, Jana, that was consistent in terms of the sequence type, like within a producer or within a region or even just within a pig flow? I know you said you didn't see huge differences between sick pigs and healthy pigs, but did you see commonality that was attributed to any risk factors that we can track? Things like, the source of the pigs or the owner of the pigs or even just the region, right? Does Minnesota have one strain of PCV2 and Illinois and Iowa, we each kind of have our own? You get where I'm going with that question?
Yeah, I do. And actually, no, we didn't. We saw a few things that may be flow based, where within one system that there was, a PCV2 A might pop up in a particular flow. But for the majority of the cases, it was PCV2 D. It didn't matter region. We had Eastern, the Eastern U.S. was covered. The Central U.S. was covered. The Southern U.S., we kind of tried to make sure that we had many different geographies and many different systems included. And so it was consistently PCV2D throughout all of those cases.
Jan, our audience may be asking, why do all this work, right? Like, why go to all the effort to find these cases, to sequence the virus? What's the rationale behind doing this? How do you hope to be able to use this information from a practical standpoint?
Yeah, I think as we're looking at PCV2D, and just PCV2 in general, right? When we first saw PCV2, it was very obvious that we saw PCV2 clinical signs. It was there. And it wasn't hard to find. I think now with the vaccines and the protection of the pig and the whole herd stability of sow farms, we don't see the same clinical signs that we did, but they're there. And so if you're like, oh, there's just something off, I need to dig into a little bit of this more, we have been finding PCV2D in those cases. And the key there is to know that we do have protection. We have options out there to protect primarily against PCV2D with vaccines and with a vaccine that protects against A and D all in the same bottle. We have those options for producers to protect those pigs all the way from the sows through the piglets, right? And so I think that is kind of the thing, the key that we wanted to look at and say, do we really have PCV2D out there? PCV2s are, there's always change in PCV2 genotypes. And if we can protect against the most recent PCV2 genotype, then we should continue that, those production parameters, get production parameters better for the producer as they go forward.
Well, presumably the story is not over. And what I mean by that is PCV2 genotype evolution is going to continue, right? It's not like, okay, we did all this surveillance and it'll be PCV2D for forever. Presumably there's going to be some new alphabet and letter soup of PCV2, XYZ, that'll become more important in time. And so I think for producers, it's important to keep an eye on not just what's out there today, but make sure that whatever vaccine you're using for any pathogen is best set up to handle the future challenges. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it. And we know that with other co-infections, the PCV2 in general, and especially PCV2D, seems to be a little more of a struggle for the pigs to overcome. And so if we can keep that under control, then maybe we can keep some of the other co-infections like PRRS under better wraps as well, right? So if we keep up with that piece of it, then hopefully we can help some of those other some of those other co-infections that they see.
Yeah, I always tell folks, if your pigs are going to have to battle their way through PRRS, let's not skimp on the control program for anything else. They're going to have a hard enough time fighting PRRS. PRRS is an enemy that they have to literally fight one-on-one, the pig's immune system versus that PRRS virus. And if the pig is trying to have that battle one-on-one and at the same time, mycoplasma or PCV2 or you name it, right, salmonella is nipping at the pig from the back, is tail biting the pig, well, it's a tough enough battle when it's one-on-one with PRRS. But if you now are two-on-one, three-on-one pathogens against the pig, that's where you can really rack up the mortality numbers, unfortunately.
Right. And I think for me, when I talk, to veterinarians and producers, the PCV2D1 is, I don't want to say easier, but right, like it's with the vaccines that we have and the ability to protect them all the way through, we have a PCV2D vaccine. I can combat PCV2D. I can take that off the table and then I can, you know, focus on that PRRS or mycoplasma or whatever it is. And so I think that's a big one to fight, at least for us to say we have this, we have, a, you know, vaccines that will work against it. And let's take that off the table so that we can go dig into these other co-infections.
And as I understand it, the PCV2D vaccine has the PCV2A antigen still in there. So if you're out there and you happen to still be a producer that's got PCV2A that you're finding in your sequences, you know, the new vaccine would have coverage for both the old strains and the new strains.
Yep. Yeah. It's all in one bottle. It's easy. We've got A, D, you can put in the pig and know that you're going to have that coverage for both of those and kind of, you know, make sure those pigs are protected.
In the rare situation, Jana, where we got a producer that's saying, well, I don't have PRRS and I still feel like my PCV2 vaccine opportunity could be improved. And maybe they're already using PCV2D vaccine. What are some other practical things that producer should look at? You know, what makes a pig not very easy to vaccinate against PCV2, regardless of which vaccine you use, outside of just that PRRS co-infection risk?
Yeah, I think, you know, we always kind of, our mantra is whole herd stability, right? Like, we're going to look at that whole herd all the way from when you're producing that gilt to go into the sow farm all the way to market. And so if we're still seeing some PCV2D, take that step back and look at those sows and gilts. Look at what's happening on that sow farm. Let's get them protected. If there's some diagnostics that need to be done, look into that. And you can do that downstream or at the sow farm. But you can also just vaccinate them for PCV2 A and D, control that stability on that sow farm so that you have the right pig ready to vaccinate when they need to be vaccinated to protect them all the way through to market.
Excellent information, very practical and very field applicable. Jana, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing that with the audience.
Yeah, thanks, Clayton.
Yeah, well, we should thank the audience, Jana. We wouldn't have the opportunity to do this if it wasn't for them. So to you folks out there listening, thanks for being a part of this. If you haven't visited swinehealthblackbelt.com, please do so. You can catch this episode with Jana as well as all our episodes being posted there. For Dr. Jana Morgan, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson, and it's been our pleasure to spend some time with you. We certainly hope you have a great rest of your day.